The TNT Shop has great gift ideas for your furry family member. And we don't mean your Aunt Dolores.
You stink!
The TNT Shop has it all. At TNTRadio.live. No propaganda, no lies, and definitely no BS. You're with George Eliason, live from Donbas, Ukraine, on today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Hello and welcome to Thursday. Now, we're going to start off with Ukrainian news today. We have a special guest coming on at 20 past, Carol Lieberman, known as America's psychiatrist, and we're going to be discussing a little bit about the University of Idaho murders. Now, let's start out with Ukraine because it is important. What's going on there affects us all, not just us in Donbas, but especially everybody everywhere else. They've pulled back, you know, on talking about the concept that this could go nuclear, that this could go worldwide. And at the same time, the West is bringing in weapons that are pushing it and pushing it and pushing it closer and closer to a NATO conflict. And, you know, this is not the best case scenario in terms of diplomacy, what they're, I should say, not working out, but what's happening on the battlefield. Now, when we look at that, the first thing, honestly, stepping off the actual theater itself, let's start with the sanctions. How have they worked out? Well, Russia is doing better than it was a year ago. And the rest of the world found out how much Russia contributes to world stability and the world economy. And that's just a fact. Now, Nord Stream will come up again and again and again over the next few months. The reason being is we're actually getting into the cold weather now, for real. In Donbas, things will be warming up above freezing for the next few days. But as we head toward the middle and end of the month, things will be down, going down below freezing for about a month, and then mud season starts. So it's a very, very limited time on the field itself. Now, how this impacts economies. If we look at Soledar, the reason why the battle was raging so hard, why Ukraine needed to defend it, now it goes beyond Ukraine's strategic position. Soledar is home to the largest salt mine in the EU. And with Ukraine losing that, and they've lost Soledar, the source for salt in Europe is, well, because of sanctions, no longer there, one of the main sources. Now, salt is a lot more than what you sprinkle on your food. It's used in a variety of applications. And, you know, the fact that this basic necessity, and it is a basic necessity, is missing from the economies, is going to prove very expensive in terms of product manufacturing, in terms of everyday life. Now, Soledar also, as I said, on the battlefield, represents the beginning of taking very big strategic positions away from the Ukraine. Between Soledar, Bakhmut, and Slavansk, you have Ukrainian command centers that are running the battlefield. And this is the first step to pushing Ukraine out of those areas. Slavansk has more than a strategic importance. it's important to the psyche of Donbass, especially Donetsk People's Republic. Slavonsk is the city of Slavs. That's how it actually translates. And Slavic people take a lot of pride in their race and their ethnicity. And so this city has always had that sense of importance to it. In the same way that New York has for financial, impact worldwide. You know, where's NASDAQ? Where's the stock exchange? Your mind automatically turns there. Locally, this has that same sense of pride. So Slavonsk is going to be something that you'll be hearing about in the coming month and a half or 2 months. It is going to be a very, very drawn out battle there, because that is one city that Kiev and Zelensky does not want to lose. Now, the GOP, surprisingly, put up a bill that says only the American flag, and we're moving on to something else, only the American flag can fly over U.S. embassies. No more gay pride flags, BLM flags, or any other flags. And their supporters are calling it the Old Glory Act. And they say that other flags politicize U.S. embassies. Now, coming up at this juncture, this is actually an important statement. The U.S. embassy in Kiev has been flying the OUN battle flag for the last, 5 years, 6 years? This is a flag that was a banner on the, or a ribbon on the arms of the people that committed the Holocaust. This is the blood and soil, the black and red. And it is an abomination for the U.S. Embassy to actually fly this banner. And the reason being is our grandparents, great-grandparents, the greatest generation, fought tooth and nail in Europe against these people. And when you look at Hanukkah, you look at all these holidays, if you follow the U.S. Embassy in Kiev's Twitter account, with the same banner that killed all the Jews in the Holocaust and the Ukrainian Holocaust and people across Europe, they congratulate the Jewish people on Hanukkah, remembering the Holocaust, which is just, you know, think about that. How much more cynical does it get? How much more cynical does it get? Yes, we're celebrating the memory of all these people that were systematically tortured and murdered with the flag flown by the people that did it. And quite frankly, it's something that I've been pointing out at this point, it seems like forever. And, you know, it is a great move if this goes through in Congress, because no embassy should be flying any other flag than their country's anyway. I mean, really think about it. Who are they representing? Who are they supposed to be representing? Whose interests? In Kiev, it's been, you know, honestly, the U.S. diplomatic corps needs to be rebuilt from scratch anyway. There are no real diplomats left. And quite frankly, it's a problem because it's just been political appointments. And people have been writing U.S. policy, U.S. foreign policy, on their own. And this is very, very dangerous to do. But it's been done. And it's been done continually since Obama. So hopefully this is the beginning of getting a handle on that. Now, I don't know if you've heard about this. Zelensky's bust in Congress. They want to, South Carolina Republican Congressman Joe Wilson wants to put Volodymyr Zelensky's head at the Capitol. Yeah, a bust. Now, this is a disgrace. It goes beyond distraction. If you've never visited the Capitol or know its history, you have the Hall of Statues that each state was officially commissioned to donate one, or showing what's important to them. Now, most of them have two. But then you have the reliefs. And these are really important. And this is what Joe Wilson actually has in mind. Now, we're talking about Volodymyr Zelensky, who cut out free speech from his country, cut out any political opposition or candidate that'll stand against him in an election, cut out anybody that would criticize him, cut out the oldest Christian denomination, one of the oldest Christian denominations on the planet, made them illegal in Ukraine. Is arresting the priests, is arresting the metropolitans, taking away their citizenship, just like political rivals. This is Volodymyr Zelensky. And they want to celebrate him at the Capitol. And again, Republican Congressman Joe Wilson with the likes. Now, this is the roster of the people that earned this throughout history. And that's just, they are known as lawgivers. Alfonso X, Edward I, Gaius, George Mason, Gregory IX, Hammurabi, Hugo Grotius, Innocent III, Jean-Baptiste Colbert, Justinian I, Lycurgus, Maimonides, Moses, Napoleon I, Papinian, Robert Joseph Pothier, St. Louis, Simon de Montfort, Solon, Suleiman, Thomas Jefferson, Tribonian, Sir William Blackstone, and now Volodymyr Zelensky. All of these listed names that I just read to you were known because throughout their lives, they worked for and succeeded at promoting liberty and justice in their own countries. All of them are known as greats. And you really can't, it's not a title that you just give to somebody. Alexander the Great, great conqueror. All right. It's something that's earned. And it's not earned by taking away every measure of freedom, of principles, of mercy, of fairness, of justice from your own people and from as many people as you can worldwide, which is what Zelensky has done. This is outrageous to compare him. Let's take Suleiman as an example. He's called Suleiman the Great or Suleiman the Lawgiver. He was leader of the Ottoman Empire at the time the Reformation was starting. Now, here's this great Muslim leader. He's a sultan of the Ottoman Empire. He financed the beginning of the Reformation. He was anti-Catholic. Now, here's the thing. When this guy died, Catholic popes and bishops who were his enemies, he fought his entire life, wars with the Holy Roman Empire and the Vatican in Europe, all they could do was lavish praise on him because of how wise and how great a leader he was for his own empire. And the simple fact that Europeans were jealous of the freedoms that the people had in the Ottoman Empire during that day. And when you consider the fact that in the Ottoman Empire, unless he freed you personally, every person in the empire was a slave. They were equal. But everybody could get an education. Everybody was equal under law, including himself. That's why he's there. We have Volodymyr Zelensky, who was the exact opposite of this roster of people. The exact opposite. And quite frankly, even putting this up as a resolution is a shame on the Republicans and Congress itself. We're going to take a quick break. And when we get back, Carol Lieberman is going to join me. This is TNT Talk Radio, and we'll see you in a few minutes.
You should hear what Greg Maybury is talking about.
We can just about pick any significant event in U.S. history or history generally, and the accounts differing from the official narrative are at best dismissed by the media or relegated to the realm of conspiracy theory. We've heard this many times before. And so it is with the JFK assassination, the Vietnam War, the Six-Day War between Egypt and Syria and Jordan and Israel, the assassination of Martin Luther King and the attempted sinking of a U.S. Navy ship, the USS Liberty, by the Israeli Defense Forces. All of this happened throughout the 60s. What do these events have in common, apart from the fact that they all occurred around about the same era? One man, as it turns out, a former Texas school teacher turned politician turned U.S. president by the name of Lyndon Baines Johnson. He plays the central role in instigating or covering up the real story behind a lot of these events. He was certainly instrumental in fostering the continued growth of the deep state, whereas his predecessor, JFK, who was assassinated, wanted to pare back this deep state, or what Dwight Eisenhower, JFK's predecessor, called the military-industrial complex.
The No-Fly Zone with Greg Maybury on today's News Talk, TNT Radio.
This is a message for the parents of young children in the United States. I am Dr. Tess Laurie from the World Council for Health. Please consider the danger of vaccinating your children and babies with the COVID-19 injections. They are not the same as traditional vaccines and are causing significant harm to children around the world. Your children have their whole lives ahead of them. They are not endangered by COVID at all. Please hear us when we say, for your children, it is much safer to wait. Thank you.
Billionaire globalist corporations will own everything. Homes, factories, farms, cars, furniture, and everyday citizens will rent what they need, if their social credit score allows. Lighting the fuse for freedom, TNT Radio.
Welcome back, and we have Dr. Carol Lieberman with us today. She's known as America's psychiatrist. She's a board-certified Beverly Hills psychiatrist and a best-selling author and award-winning author of several books, and has written chapters and forewords for books including Missing Without a Trace, Beyond a Reasonable Doubt, Tragedy in Sedona, and Divorcing a Narcissist. She's also the author of the upcoming book, Murder by TV, A Descent into Madness, the story of the Jenny Jones talk show murder, for which she was the defense psychiatrist. Now, she's also a TV news talk commentator on today's headlines from a psychological and sociopolitical point of view. And when Dr. Carol isn't seeing patients or testifying at trials as a forensic psychiatrist expert witness, she's working as a three-time Emmy-honored TV personality who has appeared on Oprah, The Today Show, Good Morning America, CNN, Fox News, HLN, ET, ABC, CBS, NBC, and my God, the list just keeps going. Dr. Carol, thank you for coming on today.
You're very welcome.
Now, you've been doing a lot on the Idaho murders, the University of Idaho murders. I'd like to get into that a little bit. I've listened to some of your interviews, and some of the points you make are so insightful. I'd like to know what's a little bit more, I guess, behind that. Now, if you're not familiar with the University of Idaho murders, Brian Koberger is accused of fatally stabbing 21-year-olds Madison Mulgan and Kaylee Concals and the 20-year-olds Ethan Chapin and Zana Kernodle at their off-campus housing in Moscow, Idaho, on November 13th. Now, given the nature of the killings, and this is going to go into your, I guess, you haven't seen him as a patient, but diagnosing him as an incel, does it seem very daring that Koberger would attempt to do this with Ethan Chapin present? Or do you think it was something he didn't know?
Oh, I think he definitely knew, because really, in the affidavit, they have evidence that he was both circling around the house and also stalking them. So I think he knew that that Ethan was going to be there too. But, you know, in the incel world, where the perfect girls are called Stacy's and perfect guys, the guys who get to be with these girls, are called Chads. So it is for an incel to kill to kill a Stacy and a Chad, you know, that those are both good kills. I mean, those are both worthwhile, something to be proud of. Let me just back up a little bit. Incels, just to, you know, for maybe people who don't know about this, incels are men who are who develop a lot of rage, because from the time they are interested in girls, they have been rejected by them. They feel that they're entitled to get sex and a relationship, dating and marriage, you know, some love, basically love from women. And when they and they look at women who are, and these four are like perfect specimens of Stacy's and Chad's, because they were very attractive, they're smart, they're popular, they have their life together. And so these would be people who an incel like Brian Koberger would find as prime targets. He would be very, even if he never actually asked them out, he would, from his past experiences, he's 28, he would assume that they wouldn't give him the time of day. And that has filled him with, he's only a suspect, but I suspect that filled him with rage.
Now, you know, the term incel, is this a psychopathy? Or, I mean, is it just, you know, it's not a physical condition, but is it just a mental condition, emotional deviancy? What is this? And is it dangerous
to the people they act out on? Not that all incels are killers, you know, but they, I mean, some of them just sit with their rage for the rest of their life, but it's not it's more a descriptive term for a certain phenomenon or a certain pattern. It's not a diagnosis in the DSM. Any of the DSMs, the Diagnostic and Statistical Manuals that give the diagnoses, it's not listed in there. But typically, you know, when an incel does do a crime like this, you know, when they are not able to inhibit their rage and act out by killing people, then most often, there would be some a psychological disorder that you could find in the DSM underneath, which would have possibly led to their being awkward to begin with and getting rejected. You know, like Koberger was in high school, you know, he was a little overweight when he started high school, and the girls not only wouldn't they go out with him, but they bullied him and they threw things at him and so on. So it probably is that he has some other, some, you know, definite psychiatric disorder that in addition to his being an incel. And we have, there are some examples of incels. One of the most notorious is Elliot Rodger, who in 2014 killed seven students at UC Santa Barbara using a knife, mm-hmm. using a gun, and using his car. And he killed himself right after this spree. So he never was put on trial, and he never, he had been seeing therapists off and on during his life. You know, that's one of the frustrating things for me as a psychiatrist, is that sometimes, whether it's an incel or a school shooter or a mass shooter, oftentimes these people will have been brought to a psychiatrist, maybe even sometimes to an emergency room, but they just get lost. Like the mental health professionals don't recognize the seriousness of their disorder. A good example of this is Nicholas Cruz in the Parkland High School shooting. The sheriff was called to his house many, many times. And some of the times he brought him into a hospital emergency room, but the psychiatrist, psychologist, whoever was on duty did not admit him. And the people who he had gotten therapy from over the years, off and on, they didn't recognize the seriousness of his mental illness. So that is really frustrating, that even when there is the opportunity, you know, to get treatment and to prevent whatever crime these people commit, they don't get the proper treatment, or they don't get, well, the proper treatment, what I was trying to say for Nicholas Cruz would have been to hospitalize him against his will. You can be hospitalized against your will if you're a danger to self or a danger to others or gravely disabled, meaning you can't feed yourself or put a roof over your head. And so really a lot of these killers should have been hospitalized against their will, and the crimes would have been prevented.
Yeah, but you know, it's based on being able to identify it. Yes. I mean, that's just got to be the, oh my gosh, I'm looking at your profession, and I mean, that's still, you know, to my thinking, almost act of God stuff to be able to recognize some of these people, especially if they're trying to hide it actively.
Well,
I mean, that's just so difficult.
Well, not if you've had a good education and training. You know, I'll be honest, the problem these days, and it's been growing for a while, the problem is that in training, there's medical school, and then there's psychiatric residency for 3 years. Mm-hmm. And you only in medical school, you generally just get sort of a basic, everybody takes, you know, psychiatry. So it's not, it's just kind of a basic understanding in medical school, but you specialize when you do your residency. And so many residencies are spending too much time on these days on medication, you know, on what to give for what. And, you know, and people who are going to psychiatrists are the typical situation is they get seen for, it varies, half an hour to maybe an hour if they're lucky. But then they're just given a prescription and told to come back in a month or 3 months or 6 months. And if they come back and they still have the same symptoms or other symptoms, they're just given another prescription. Psychiatrists are not doing therapy and even are not referring them to psychologists to do therapy enough. You know, that is not how I was trained. I was trained at NYU Bellevue and also at Anna Freud's clinic in London. And, you know, I do therapy with people. You don't get to the root, no matter who you are. You can't get to the root of a person's problems, no matter what the problem is, unless you're doing weekly, at least weekly therapy with them. Medication alone doesn't cure anybody from anything. So it's really, that's why we have so many crazy people walking around. That and the fact that they closed the state mental hospitals.
Now, Koberger is a PhD candidate, so I'm assuming he's an intelligent guy. I mean, you know, it's got to be there. And he's studying his deficiencies and how to commit a crime. I got that from your interviews. Now, why, being an intelligence guy, why would he not have a problem being extradited and say he's hoping for exoneration? He's got to know it's not coming. I mean, well, he's got to know this.
Intellectually, he does. I mean, the thing that's hard for people to understand is how can somebody who's so smart, you know, and his teachers have told him, or have not him, well, they might have told him, but have told the media that, like one said, he was the smartest student she ever had. Others have said he was really smart too. And so, but people have trouble understanding that you can be really super smart and still have some kind of mental disorder, because the intellect, you know, for studying is separate from your psychological problems. Now, granted, you can have some severe psychological, like if you're psychotic, if you're in a psychotic phase, for example, it would be hard to learn and to, you know, to be able to go from, to be even accepted into a PhD program. But no, I think he must think that he has something up his sleeve. And Idaho doesn't have a not guilty by reason of insanity defense. And but it does have, you can present an expert witness, like a psychiatrist is an expert witness, to try to explain or to have an impact on mitigating the harsh sentence, at least, or mitigating, you know, I mean, I don't know how he thinks he's going to be totally acquitted, but maybe he has something up his sleeve. Now, the only thing, well, one of the only things, he could be delusional, you know, as far as that's concerned. Yeah. But also, there was an incel in Canada, Alec Manassian, who rammed a whole bunch of people, and he killed 10 of those people. And he didn't kill himself, so he did go to trial. And he was given, and he did try to create a psychiatric, like not guilty by reason of insanity or some kind of psychiatric defense. And he was given, a life sentence, but with the possibility of parole after 25 years. So maybe, I mean, presumably, Brian Koberger knows about that. And so maybe he's hoping to do that kind of a defense, that if he shows, you know, he has written about visual snow and depersonalization and things online. Maybe he's going, you know, which could in fact indicate, I mean, if it's him, first of all, and if it really is true what he's describing, it could indicate a this is from like 2011 and 2012, so it could indicate some kind of a mental illness back from then. Now, the Toronto incel, he was diagnosed earlier on as being on the autism spectrum. And so that was his main psychiatric defense, so to speak.
I don't understand my world around me kind of thing, or I mean,
well,
I don't understand autism as a defense.
It was that I don't really understand. I don't know how to socialize with the world around me. That is why, you know, like, in other words, that as an explanation for why he became an incel, and there probably are a number of incels. I don't have a specific percentage, but, you know, it would make sense that if you have some kind of disorder, like if you're on the autism spectrum, then that part of the symptoms of that is that you have difficulty socializing with people, knowing the proper way to socialize, you know, and you're awkward and all of that. And that would could explain why someone, why they weren't getting women going out with them or having sex with them.
Now, I want to ask this, and I'm not trying to throw a wrench into works. I'm not trying to, and the question, I don't know if it's a valid question or not. With Kohberger, is there a possibility that his thinking, his worldview, his view of himself is just in a spectrum of deviant, but not diagnosable as an illness or, you know, an understandable condition?
You mean, could it turn out that his various symptoms and his life story don't fit into a particular diagnosis, a category in the DSM, for example?
He's just decided, this is who I am. I gotta be me.
Yeah. Well, he does. He definitely does have a kind of arrogant sense about him. He does give, I mean, his face, you know, especially, I mean, first of all, he has this one facial expression pretty much all the time, except for when he was caught with his father in Indiana in the car driving back to Pennsylvania. There's this one picture, you probably saw it, where he's looking, he doesn't just have this sort of immovable face, but he's kind of looking panic-stricken because he thinks that maybe they know who he is and they caught him. But other than that, he has this same expression, like immovable expression. But I mean, usually you can put people into some kind of category, especially, I mean, the thing
it
is,
it may not even be a valid question. I'm not even sure if it was a valid question.
Well,
or
it's
not.
Okay. But what we're missing, what we need to know more of to really understand him, and I'm there really isn't anything that I have been able to find, I mean, online. We need to know about his parents. We need to know about his family, like what influence they had on him, like what life was like for him as a child. Obviously, if he wrote this, these postings about, you know, this snow, visual snow and depersonalization, all of this, and I don't know, very like, as my family group hugs and celebrates, I am stuck in this void of nothing, feeling completely no emotions, et cetera, et cetera. I mean, you know, it sounds, there are hints that certainly he had to have had behind every killer, there is a very disturbed childhood, you know, whether he might have been abused, he might have been neglected. We do know that his father declared bankruptcy on two occasions. He also worked as a custodian kind of job. And they didn't make very much money. It's kind of interesting because they have the pictures of their house. One would think that they had more money than apparently, or maybe in more recent years, he has made more money. I don't know. There's an interesting thing about his sister, where she was an actress in a movie where the story was about these people who hacked up students who went into the woods. And she was one of the students who was with the group that mostly got hacked, but she survived. That was years ago. And you know, you wondered how much was he influenced by that? Did that seem thrilling to him? You know, did he start developing his ideas about doing something like that from then?
Now, I know that you have to leave at, you know, in about 7 minutes or so. I want to get a couple more questions in. Now, he's not a serial killer, but is it possible that they caught a serial killer before he could get to that status? I mean, do you think that with this type of mentality, everything that, that you said, that he would have just kept going if he's not caught?
You mean, is this like, could this be the first of a chain of being a serial killer?
Exactly.
Well, and even could it be not the first, you know, could he, they're looking into all kinds of other crime, unsolved crimes to see whether that could be, that are similar, that could, to see whether it could be him. You know, it's possible, but it would need to be, if he doesn't really seem like a serial killer. I mean, an incel, he had a specific target. It wasn't like he was just going around and he wanted to kill people. He seemed to have this specific target of these
fixation. Four students.
Yes. And one of the things that I really find fascinating or frustrating as well is, you know, how not only were the police changing their story, of course, now it turns out that the police were doing a good job after all, but the thing that, some of the things that disturb me is how people have changed their story. Like, for example, you know, both in on television, you know, on video, and in written articles, the father, Kaylee's father, who I think was the main target, Kaylee's father has talked about early on, he talked about how she told him that she had a stalker. And after that, when they did arrest Brian, then he, you know, he had this expression, a combination of a deer in headlights and also like an aha expression. And he said that he saw a link, that there, now he knows, now he realizes what the link is, but that he didn't want to talk about it just then. Now, since then, the lawyer for Kaylee's family has said, oh no, there's no connection. Well, first of all, you know, there has to have been a connection, because she not only told her father, but the friends, the group told this manager of a vape store that she has a stalker and that they're, you know, standing behind her to protect her from somebody walking behind her, you know, who might be walking behind her. And also the new thing that just came up was that, there is a place, a bar or a cafe of some sort near the Washington State University campus called the Coug. And on her birthday, on June 8th, her 21st birthday, she wrote, there's a wall that the students sign, and she signed the wall, and she put her sorority and so on. And they found that cell phones, his cell phone, Koberger's cell phone, started pinging in June, you know, around the group, or at least around her. Mm-hmm. And so that is much more than a coincidence. Now, it could be other places, too. I'm not saying that that is the first place or the only place, but it is a place that seems very likely to have been the place where they came in contact with each other. So I don't know why the lawyer is saying that there wasn't a connection. I mean, unless they're just trying to, they don't want people to think that somehow she caused this. You know, they're also protecting the roommate, Dylan, who is the one who came in contact with him, who heard the noises in the house, you know, her roommates crying and saying, I think someone's here, and all this talking. And she poked her head out of the door three times, and she saw the guy even. You know, yes, he had a mask on and so on, but you would think, you know, putting myself in that position, I can't, if I saw a guy, first of all, hearing those noises, like people were in trouble, you know, there was some problem going on, and then saw a guy with a mask, you know, yes, there's COVID, but, and it's 4 o'clock in the morning, I would certainly call 911, if nothing else, than to protect myself. But exactly. Also, you go to the rooms, you know, you knock on the doors of the rooms and say, are you okay? So there is more to this.
Yeah, I agree with you 100%. You know, and I know that, you know, you're doing a really great job breaking this down. Why do you think he was so sloppy? I mean, to go through all that time to, you know, get this degreed status, and this is his forte, and he's leaving DNA evidence all over the place.
Yes, well, I think it's a couple of reasons. One is that the killers who he studied, you know, first for his master's and now starting, you know, he had one semester towards his PhD, the killers that they study, those were, for the most part, they were before, or a lot of them anyway, were before cell phones and before DNA. And I think, you know, so they weren't as attuned to covering their tracks in regard to that. And also, I think it's because he is struggling within himself. On the one hand, he wants to commit the perfect crime and not be caught. On the other hand, he wants to be one of those notorious killers who other students are going to be reading about in a book someday.
Well, it's 10 of. Do you have a few more minutes or do you need to go right now?
Sure. You can talk me into it. I just have to. The thing is that I'm supposed to be watching. Well, I would have done it anyway. Today at 8:00 Pacific time, is the second hearing for Koberger. Mm-hmm. So he's coming into court. That's going to be very interesting. And I'm supposed to be reporting on it. So that's why I kind of need to catch all of it.
Oh, well, if you need to go, you need to go. I mean, that's just important. You know, that's seriously.
Okay.
I'd love to have you back if that's the case.
Sure, sure. But why don't we do that then?
All right. Thank you so much for coming on today. Kara Liberman, America's Psychiatrist. And this is an intensely cool breakdown of this murder case. You're opening my eyes to a lot of things. And I really thank you for that on behalf of all our listeners.
Well, you're very welcome.
Thanks for coming by today.
Very welcome. My pleasure.
All right. We'll see you soon then.
Okay.
Let's get it scheduled.
Okay. Absolutely. Thank you again.
All right. Let's take a break right now. This is TNT Talk Radio. I'm George Eliason, and Dr. Kara Liberman has been on breaking this down spectacularly. We'll see you in a minute.
De-weaponizing weather with reality and perspective.
What a terrible day for the climate emergency. You know what? They might as well blame this FAA shutdown with the computers on climate change because they've got nothing else. First of all, the ozone layer is healing. Secondly, the Great Barrier Reef is at record high levels. Two-thirds of the reef are as big as we've ever measured it. And the truth is, the world is getting greener, cleaner, healthier, and richer in wildlife, too. That's what Matt Ridley wrote in the Daily Mail. I was taking a look at the Keeling Curve today. Do you know what the Keeling Curve is? It's the concentration of CO2 at Mauna Loa in Hawaii. They measure it all the time. It's supposed to be a curve. Well, it's not curving. You know why? It's just been flatlining the entire last month, which is very interesting because at this time of the year, it's supposed to be going up like crazy. Well, I see the COVID emergency has been extended for the 11th time, so we still got that going for us. And of course, even though it's a climate optimum, we have a climate emergency, but it appears that the actual news is opposite of all that. This is TNT Climate and Weather Watchdog meteorologist Joe Bastardi asking you to enjoy the weather, because there's a lot of good news. It's the only weather you got.
Challenging the consensus and debunking the narrative. This is Viewpoint.
Negotiations on new rules for dealing with future pandemics have begun at the World Health Organization, WHO. The first meeting of an intergovernmental negotiating body took place behind closed doors on the 24th of February 2022. The UN Health Agency's 194 member countries were represented. It will be backed by a Washington-led effort to build a global pandemic prevention fund hosted by the World Bank. Among the suggested proposals for the pact is the sharing of data and genome sequences of emerging viruses and rules on equitable vaccine distribution.
Support childhood slavery and buy an electric vehicle. We mandate that the truth be told. Lighting the fuse for freedom. Today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
And for a complete list of shows in our schedule offered on TNT Radio, simply visit our website at tntradio.live. We serve up the latest live news and current affairs presented by a host of credible and expert commentators who can separate fact from fiction and truth from propaganda right here on TNT Radio. Now, before Dr. Carol came on, we were discussing putting Ukrainian's president, little strongman Volodymyr Zelensky's head in the U.S. Capitol building. Now, if it's a very, very serious thing, even if this is just coming up as a resolution because it's on a congressional record, historians get to look at this thing and say, wow, he must have been a great guy. Is he Thomas Jefferson? Does this guy rate up there with Hammurabi? You see, all those people contributed not just to their own societies, but worldwide, historically. And this man, like we said before Dr. Carol came on, has taken away the rights and freedoms from his people. Ukraine is not one of the 50 U.S. states. So in terms of coming under that authority, he shouldn't be in Statuary Hall at all. And that's just a fact. It's reserved for the states. Ukraine is also the most corrupt country on the planet right now. I mean, can you imagine, 30-40% of $100 billion is going to somebody's nest eggs, a lot of somebody's nest eggs. And that's just where we are today. Ukraine has been interfering in U.S. elections and taking away your free speech. And this isn't just in the U.S. This is worldwide across the Western world. All the fact checkers, all the censorship, if you look at who's participating in that, you'll see Ukraine is strong-handing everybody. Google, what you can see in search, what you can't. It's Ukrainian-based, baby. And they've been doing this since 2015 to make sure you cannot find the truth. You cannot hear the truth. And anybody that wants to speak the truth gets pushed down. Not found, not heard, not seen, not monetized, delisted, and brokenhearted. And that's where you'll be if Volodymyr Zelensky has his druthers. That's what they've been working on. The amount of corruption out of Ukraine is just, it's staggering. It's just mind-blowing. If any other parliamentary group in the world acted like the U.S. Congress, the halls would be set on fire. I saw a video a few weeks ago. They put a Ukrainian flag in front of the Slovakian flag in the Slovakian parliament. Just on the basis of that, they grabbed a flag, ripped a flag, parliamentarians were dousing each other with water to show their contempt, because that's a Slovakian parliament. And how dare you put another flag in front of ours? And yet there's Pelosi and Harris doing just that in the Chamber of Congress, the House Rep, Chamber of Commerce, just that. It's just crazy, and it needs to be fixed. This is TNT Radio. I'm George Eliason, and we'll see you tomorrow.